Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Well, we got a new Secretary of State, and Kanye West is not him, but he did see Trump today, which I thought is great. I love it. I love the fact that Kanye showed up there. Let's be real. Are you not kind of enjoying the fact that Trump Tower has become like this castle and that everybody is going to pay their respects to the new king? It's kind of entertaining, right? It's that P.T. Barnum feel that's going on. People are showing up, paying respects to the king. Leonardo DiCaprio have been there. You've got now Kanye showing up. I mean, he's all crazy, but he showed up, right? That's that. I find that to be hilarious. It's amazing. It really is. I think this is hilarious. And it's still people are talking about this whole thing with Russia. And did they or didn't they? And did they? Who? It's over. It doesn't matter. None of it matters. People are like, why didn't they hack the RNC? Maybe the RNC didn't have anything exciting to hack. Right? They got in there, found they're just a bunch of boring old white guys that aren't doing anything to each other. Right? They're just boring. Maybe that's it. Maybe they hacked in there. And what are they going to do? First of all, what are they going to find out about Trump that nobody already knows? I mean, I'm just curious. What are we going to find out about that? Nah, who cares? It's over. It's done with. Be over it. Let's move on. Let's talk about the fact that Kanye was at Trump Towers today. What could those two people be talking about? I mean, I'm curious. What conversation could those two be carrying on with one another? Anyone? I tweeted that out. This is the great tweet I got today from somebody. Kanye, you can always tweet at me, at Chad Benson Show. Kanye is going to be the Secretary of popping a cap into anyone named Chad Benson. Prediction. Move to Canada in your future. Well, I appreciate that. I will hold my ground that he is not going to, quote unquote, pop a cap in my ass because of all the people that I fear in the rap game, he is not one of them. Just letting you guys know. I do not fear Kanye throwing it down and trying to pop a cap in my ass. He's got bigger issues. He should worry about, protecting his wife. Chad, you're such a Richard on that one. So this Tillerson guy is going to be Secretary of State. People are worried about that. Whatever. Is what it is. See how it goes. He's got a relationship with Russia. Barty, barty, bar. Again, you guys couldn't pick him out of a lineup. Most of you have no idea what he's done. You have to Google it. It's because it's not that interesting. It isn't. We'll see how it goes. Most of you don't know who the Secretary of States have ever been. Right? Like, we knew who Hillary was. Because of Hillary being Hillary and her husband being the former president of the United States. But most of you can't name any other Secretary of State. Well, Condoleezza Rice, wasn't she one? Exactly. Exactly. So, John Kerry, because he ran for president. But you ask who was the president, who was Secretary of State 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago? Most people couldn't tell you. Most people, because it's not a big deal. It's not as big as everybody's making out to be. Look, it's interesting to see what he's happening. He's shaking things up. He's brought somebody in that's a friend of the Pootster. Well, that's great. But for all intents and purposes, it is what it is. And we move on from there. All right? We'll figure out what's going to happen in the future. Because after the first 6 months, we're going to know if this guy is or not. We don't know. We know that he understands some of the geopolitical world, but he's never actually been in politics. He's a friend of the likes of Putin, and Russia seems to be an important cog in this wheel now moving forward in this fight against, ISIS and also, the weirdness that's going on in places like Syria and, what's happening in Aleppo. And how are you stuck in Aleppo? I mean, think about how bad you may have it, right? There's a tentative ceasefire right now, which, by the way, is tentative, and that's with me not trying to laugh. I'm not trying to laugh, but it's that thing's not lasting. It's not. Like, none of these things are going to last. This is it. This is what the – it's going to be a perpetual war in many of these places for the foreseeable future. And when all is said and done, don't rebuild, right? This isn't the Oklahoma, right? This isn't, you know, somewhere through the Midwest where, you know, Ohio, some of these places where you've seen this – where massive tornadoes roll through. You don't build because this is what this is going to be for a long while. Perpetual war. And to see a city like Aleppo that is just destroyed, that is just absolutely gutted, and there are people that are trying to live there. Like, could you imagine the noise? We as a country overanalyze and we freak out about stuff and we take something and we run with it and it's stupid and we can be idiots that way, right? But this is real. There are people that are stuck in their homes who can't go outside for fear of being bombed or snipers. There are landmines everywhere. And this is not a small city. We're not talking about some itty-bitty, you know, like tiny itty-bitty town with like 1,500 people in it. Aleppo is massive, a little over 2.3 million people. That's the size of, well, that'd probably put you in the top 25 market nationwide here in this country. So could you imagine that? Could you imagine a city, say, for instance, like, oh, San Diego being completely bombarded and where people have fleed, where most of the 2 million people have left? Like, these are things he's going to have to deal with. But this is what we wanted, right? We wanted somebody different. We wanted somebody that was going to. Our generals are going to have to look at it. And, you know, how is Russia going to play into this? Because I've seen some new stuff today, man. The Russians throwing down in there. So this is going to be interesting to see how this goes. It really is. Maybe this guy's got more of the ear to Putin, and it may help us. Sometimes you put somebody who's strategically close to somebody like that, and he may help us. He may not. I don't know. And John Bolton will handle the nuts and bolts. So it should be interesting. Should be. But don't overanalyze it too much because, let's be real, it doesn't affect you day to day. It doesn't. So you just don't. Just don't analyze it. So Rick Perry, who once wanted to shut down the Department of Energy, will now head up the Department of Energy. I just want you to soak that in for a second. By the way, how did he do on Dancing? I know he was on Dancing with the Stars, and I know he's horrible. But I did it for charity, so I'm not gonna lambast him for that. But we'll see what happens here. But this is what they've decided. So, hey, he's putting people in that are, you know, have been critics of these departments. And he's putting people in these positions that have been critics. It's like one of those things where you think you can do a better job, here's your chance to do a better job. If you think you can do a better job, then do a better job. Now, I don't know how Rick Perry's going to do. Obviously, he wasn't going to, you know, I don't think he wasn't going to be president, even though that was his dream. But who knows what's going to take place with this? Who knows how he's going to approach the whole thing? He's been very critical of it in the past. But now you've got people like Betsy DeVos, and you've got Ben Carson, who's been a huge critic of federal housing and whatnot. You have all of these people that have criticized all of these departments. Well, now their chances are there. Betty DeVos with education, Ben Carson with the federal housing, and now he's going to be running HUD. You've got Rick Perry here, who's been a massive, massive critic of the Energy Department. Now he's got a chance, you know, to see if he can turn this thing around or do what he thinks should be done to it. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see how he approaches all of this. But that's what you got going on. Nothing too exciting. You know, we keep you abreast of this stuff, but let's be real. At night, you go home and go, oh, my God, who's going to be Energy Department Secretary? Did you say it was going to be you? It was going to be Rick Perry, the guy from Dancing with the Stars. That's who's going to do it. Okay. He's got a full cast of characters. We should get one of those. What is that single mom show? Get her on something. That way we can round out the cast of reality show TV. Is it 16 and Pregnant? Is that what it was? I can't even remember. There's so many of them. Sounds maybe get somebody from HGTV to do something. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. ChadBenson. You can tweet the show at Chad Benson Show. Tweet your love, tweet your hate. You can text the show 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. You go to work. I go to work. Should the search for happiness at work be there? And is it driving us crazy? Chad Benson Show. I just listened to some AC/DC. Everybody just needs to take a deep breath, right? I like me some AC/DC. Nothing wrong with some AC/DC. Take a deep breath. I'm trying to find happiness at work. Another great article about the cult of compulsory happiness is ruining our workplaces. And as you read the article, and the article is interesting, it talks about, you know, Google and the things it does, and Zappos encourages employees to dress as their favorite animals on certain days. And you know, you've got foosball tables. And, of course, Google does all the weird things. And Facebook does all these crazy things. You have all of these things, most of them tech companies. And as I was reading this, understand that an older generation, they look at work as something you do. A younger generation wants to be amused, right? A younger generation wants to be entertained at work. They figure they're doing you a solid by showing up, and money just isn't the only thing that will drive them. You better make sure that it's fun while they're there. Otherwise, they're going to get bored and leave. And it's, you know, look, in some of the companies that they talk about, you know, it's a culture. It's a culture of entertainment. I guarantee you, I go up there to, you know, to Google or to Facebook, and they're like, "Ooh, well, how old are you?" You know, right? I'm like 160 compared to everybody else there, right? This is what it is. They have to be amused. I don't have to be amused, right? I love what I do. I get a BS with Anthony and John and Blake. By the way, Blake is a perfect example here. He's our millennial in the office, right? We got to kind of amuse him every once in a while. He likes, you know, he doesn't work solely for the money. And a lot of these people are the same way. They want to be this way. An older generation, they want other things. They want achievement. They want to get stuff done. A younger generation, this millennial generation, you know what they want? They want to be amused and feel like they're making a difference and feel like they belong to something for a little bit. They're not there forever. I mean, they're not. Don't ask for loyalty. Not because they don't like you, just because they don't care. They don't understand what that's about. But there are a lot of these companies, and they're trying to build this fun kind of lifestyle and workplace into something. And the problem isn't the young or the old. The problem is the meshing of the two, right? You're 55 years old. Your accountant, you're not probably going to dress as your favorite animal. Not because you're not a good time, right? Not because you're maybe not woohoo, but that's just not who you are, right? You're 23. You want to dress as your favorite animal. Because you're a vegan and you also want to have fun doing your job and you don't want to be held back and restricted at any given time. You may want to do your work from 2 in the morning till 8 in the morning. That's when your best work gets done. So for some companies, look, there's a reason, right? You're courting a younger demographic to work for your company because you want to reach those people. And to reach those people, you have to have those people. To have those people, you've got to give them different incentives. It's not about money for these kids. It is about happiness. It's about a love of what you do. Like, I love my job. Like, how many people do you talk to and say, I really like my job? I mean, like, really? Like, nah, I hate my job. A lot of people just don't like their jobs. It's an ends to the mean. There's a song called Working for the Weekend. I think it's Loverboy. Right? Everybody's working for the weekend. Everybody's working for the weekend. Mike Lover, or whatever his name was. And Mike Reno, I think his name. Horrible name. I shouldn't say that because he lives locally here. But the whole point is people are working for the weekend. These people don't want to work for the weekend. They want to every day has to be fun. You have to amuse them as much as you have to employ them. Right? And there is a culture in certain areas. Sometimes it's not even just about the employees. It's the employee and customer relationship. Trader Joe's fired an employee for not smiling enough. Right? He wasn't happy and smiling enough. He secretly taped his manager evaluating his meetings, and the tapes were reviewed by the New York Times. One recording featured the boss saying, "I don't remember the last time I've seen you, like, genuinely smile." Yeah, but understand, this employer has 20 other people, and their whole thing is they want to be happy at what they do. Nobody wants a sad person running around all the time. And when you go to these places, you want people to smile because that's part of the whole thing. And Trader Joe's is one of those things. It's very natural, kind of progressive, hip grocery stores. You're going to pay a lot more for popcorn, but it's all natural. It's all made with like angel fairy tears and happiness. And you want people smiling. That's what it is. I mean, remember the movie Office Space? Like, how many pieces of flair did she have on? Like, you're doing the minimum, right? You got your 15 pieces of flair, old Jennifer Aniston. But old, you know, Steve over there, or Tim or whatever, look at him. He's got 28 pieces of flair. He's going above and beyond. Some people need that. I'm fortunate. I love what I do. I wake up in the morning. I'm happy to come to work. I get here as fast as possible. And Anthony and I and Scotty, we all have a great time doing what we're doing. And you know, we do a lot of different things here. I'm blessed. But I've been places where I hate it. And nowadays, when I talk to younger kids who are getting into the workforce, it's not about money. It's about, am I doing something that I feel that I should be doing that's going to make somewhat of a difference? Or is it one of those things where I'm going to have a good time doing it? That's what this world's become. And it's tough to mesh the two because an older generation is seeing a younger generation come into the workforce and they're seeing things happen. And it's not about getting stuff done, right, to them. It's about, hey, I'll get it done in my time, but at the same time, I would like to be able to sit on a beanbag and I want to listen to music and maybe watch Netflix and eat popcorn and it's okay if I wear pajamas. What it is. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text us 323-538-2423. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
You know, President Obama is going to be remembered for a lot of things. We do the What's Next segment. We're going to talk about what's next for President Obama. But race is one of those things. Race is an issue that is continuing to go on. I think a lot of people thought President Obama comes along. Finally, a black guy in the White House. We could shut up, right? Like, that's what a lot of people thought. People in the minority community thought, all right, we're going to get ours, right? This is time. And everybody was wrong. Right? Not everybody got theirs, and we still have issues with race in this country. And I don't want to pin it all on President Obama. Look, because there's a lot of people out there that weren't a fan of him based on the color of his skin. And if you don't think that's true, you are fooling, you are lying to yourself. It may not be something to be deep-rooted in you, but there was some sort of bias. And there was a lot of people out there were accused of that, and they didn't have any bias. They just like his politics. Right? Dare I say there were people out there, maybe even liberals and Democrats, who were uncomfortable with the idea. But because of the groupthink, they would never voice anything like that because they would be accused of something. Come on. I don't know what's inside of a man's heart or a woman's heart, so I don't really know. But I do know this, that he is going to be remembered for a lot of things. But race is going to be an issue that's going to be talked about. And as he's been going around giving his farewell interviews to CNN and to everybody else. Last night he was on The Daily Show and he sat down with Trevor Noah and they talked about race and how he's going to remember. And we'll play clip two here first, because again, I find the whole thing very fascinating, being the first African-American president and how I think he was supposed to be a uniter. And in many ways, there was a lot of division, and it was throughout his entire reign as the president, it grew and grew. And in many ways, he was on the wrong side of stuff on several occasions, and that irked a lot of people. Take a listen.
Another way of saying this is there's not been a time in my public life or my presidency where I feel as if I have had to bite my tongue. There have been times in my public life where...
I'm right here. So you've got President Obama there. And, you know, I was thinking about this. The whole thing with him is it started out with, you guys remember, was it the Cambridge professor? It was the Harvard professor. There's so many issues that he's had. Trayvon Martin could have been my son. All of those things that he inserted himself into. All of those things that he inserted himself into, that as a president, you're going to want to do stuff like this to a certain extent, right? Because you want to be able to have conversation. You want to be able to have dialogue. You want to be able to talk to people. But in some of the ways that he inserted himself into it, it made more of the story, and it blew the story up. And all of a sudden, it became an us versus them. Whether through police incidents, whether it be through Trayvon Martin, whether it be through what happened in Ferguson, there were so many situations. And the fact is, as it went on longer and longer, the perception was he didn't care about law enforcement. The perception was that he didn't like law enforcement. The perception was if a black man was shot, he would call the family. And if a white cop was shot, or any cop was shot, he wouldn't call them. And there was that perception because, in many ways, that was reality. And he also has to remember, he had to walk a fine line, right? The fine line of not just being president to black people, but to all people. And I think that was something he overthought at times. I think a lot of African Americans felt that this is it. You know, we've got somebody in the White House now. We're going to see somebody come out and do some stuff. And I think at times he played the race card within political maneuvers, not so much for himself, but, you know, with Holder and some of these other things. And I think that made people a little uncomfortable. But I also think that he held African-Americans to a different standard. Like, you know, it's like one of those kids where if you coach your kid, sometimes you coach your kid harder, maybe don't give as much than you would with some of the other kids. And I think there was that. And race is one of those things that, again, we expected. Oh, wait. It's it. It's all over now. We got a black guy in the White House. Everybody can shut up. And that didn't happen. And instead, what ended up happening is we had more incidents of race, and we've grown further apart. And it's not just an Obama thing. It is a lot of different things. But one of the things he talked about last night with Trevor Noah was about slavery and America. Take a listen.
We have by no means overcome the legacies of slavery and Jim Crow and colonialism and racism, but that the progress we've made has been real and extraordinary. Uh-huh. If I'm communicating my genuine belief that those who are not subject to racism can sometimes have blind spots or lack appreciation of what it feels to be on the receiving end of that, but
true. Look, you know, all day from all the other shows, all you heard is the first part of it. And in fact, replay that one. I'll tell you where everybody stopped it. And that's all you heard anywhere else was these little itty bitty bits and pieces, and nobody plays the full cut.
We have by no means overcome the legacies of slavery and Jim Crow and colonialism and racism.
Boom. That's where it stops. And everywhere else, it stops right there. It stops right there because it makes a soundbite. But he goes on to say progress has been made. And you know what? Progress has been made. We have come a long way. Doesn't mean we don't have longer and further to go. But we do need to celebrate our victories. Reflect on the past. Try to figure out how we don't make the same mistakes. And he talks about racism. And I've said this over and over again. I don't know what it's like to drive black. I don't know what it's like to shop while black or a minority. I don't know what it's like. And unless you're a minority or a person of color, you don't know what it's like either. So to put yourself in those shoes, we really can't do that if we're honest with ourselves. And just like I tell people who are black, you don't know what I'm thinking and feeling in my heart. So to look at me and to brand me a racist and say, this is what you are and this is how you feel, you're wrong. Most white people don't walk around all day thinking, how can I undercut and hold back black people and people of color in this country? Because the voices are loud who scream these things. The voices are loud who talk about these things. We have a ways to go, but we have come a long way, and we must recognize that. I don't believe in white privilege, but I do believe in white advantage. And that is not driving while black. That is not shopping while black or minority. That is some of the white advantage that's out there. Doesn't mean if I get pulled over and I've done something wrong, I'm going to get away with something. Doesn't mean that if I've committed a crime that, oh, well, hey, he's white, we're just going to let him go. Doesn't mean any of that. Just means that I may not get pulled over at all. There are some of those things out there. President Barack Obama, I think, is a good man. And he loves our country. I think he's a smart man. I think he's going to look back on his presidency in frustration. And I think as he looks at all of this and realizes, I think he's going to say one of his biggest regrets is the fact that he didn't maybe take race on in a different manner, maybe bring us to the table, maybe unite us. Because I think he thought he was going to be that way. I think he thought he was going to be a uniter. I think he thought he was going to be able to do more when it came to race. But if you look at us now, the law enforcement community, minorities, we're further apart than we have been since the riots in Los Angeles. That's how I feel right now. I think we are further apart than that. I think we've got bigger issues with race than we've had in the last 10 plus years when it comes just to us. And I think there are some issues out there that we need to address. Some of the political correctness is slowing us down from addressing those issues because we can't have open and honest dialogue for fear of being branded a racist or for fear of being destroyed on social media. But I think if we're really going to look at it, we're going to have to overcome these hurdles. And what I think a lot of people thought we were going to do that in these 8 years, it hasn't happened. And instead, we've become more fragmented. And now we've got a new president coming in who is already starting out with a division. And it's going to be very interesting to see how this goes. Will he somehow, coming in with a division, become a person that's become a uniter? When a lot of people thought that President Barack Obama was going to unite people, and through no lack of effort, and at times maybe putting his own foot in his mouth, and at other times people just having their own thought process, it blew up in his face. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens over the next 4 years. But I will say this, it's a mixed review when it comes to the president and race relations. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You could text the show, please do, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Got text messages coming in. They annoy you, yet some of you may love them. But for many people, they hate them. The most hated Christmas songs of all time. Chad Benson Show.
Father up above, in all this anger, do you fill me up with love? Fill me love, love, love.
Oh, yeah. I'm already hooked.
And we're just getting started.
Whoop-dee-doo!
This is the Chad Benson Show.
I love Christmas. I do get into the holiday spirit. But I will tell you this. I love moderation when it comes to Christmas. I do. And the Christmas songs in particular can be great but annoying. I was saying off air, it's like chocolate, right? It's like chocolate. Good for you, but after a while, it's too much and too sweet, and I got to move on. We've got some of the most hated, and dare I say, in some ways, also the most loved Christmas songs for you. We're going to bust some of these out for you. Now, this one right here is one that you know what? I like it. I like to hear it once, maybe twice a year, and then after that, I can't do this much. This is from the Bing himself. It's I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
Now, I like it. I like it, but it's so dull and boring, you know? Maybe I'm a bit more modern. I don't know. Maybe you can call me a modern jerk. I do like it, but again, in moderation. And some of these songs, people are like, you're going to tweet me, at Chad Benson Show. You're going to send me a text, 323-538-2423, saying, how can you say Bing Crosby's White Christmas? Because it's, again, it's all about moderation, right? Let's skip down to number three on this list. Now, this song I love, and then I hate. I can listen to it three or four times, and it makes me feel Christmassy. And by the fifth time, I'm like, I'm over it. All right, that's too much. It's Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas. All right, so Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas. All I think of it now is, I think it was an Old Navy commercial?
All I remember was the scene from Love Actually.
Yes, that's right. Love Actually. Like, a lot of these songs are a Love Actually song. But there is only so much of that song I can take. And then I'm just like, I can't take this anymore. And again, how many of your radio stations out there in your local markets have flipped over to Christmas like the day after Halloween, and they're all racing to see who can be Christmas first? Here in Southern California, I think the most famous one to do it is the one who did it first a long, long time ago and only went Christmas music was Coast FM, and they went Christmas music all the time. And it's like, again, no problem with it. I do love it, but it's only in moderation. Plus, too, it's always about the season, right? Like, you may hate that song because you're single and alone and the holidays make you feel like crap. The next year, you're in love and you want to hear that song, right? So it's all within moderation, and it's also a feeling thing. What are you feeling right now? This song drives me crazy, but it's like one of those songs that we all think we know the words to, when in truth, we know very few of the words. It's Feliz Navidad, Jose Feliciano.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad. That's it. Like, we all think we know the words, but we really don't. We're not even close to knowing the words. He had another hit, right? He did Come On Baby, Light My Fire. And he was the Latin version of Ronnie Millsap. Is that wrong?
No, but it's funny.
It is. This song is the ever-popular, ever-present, and always-sang song by little kids. And, oh, by the way, if you go into any novelty store at this time of the year, you can purchase some sort of dancing animal or fish to this. Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer, walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Oh, my God. Hey, if you're going to have a novelty song, like, is that the song, Elmo and Patsy, is like that the song you're going to have? Because we were talking about this day. If you can have one hit for a particular time of year or just one hit, it's Christmas, right? Because you will always get run for 6 or 8 weeks. Like Lee Greenwood, I'm Proud to Be an American. That thing gets run all the time during, you know, like Veterans Day, and 4th of July, Memorial Day. That's a run right there. But this, this is 6 weeks of craziness. You're just counting it out, the cash you made. I love this next song, but again, it depends on the time of year as far as if you're in love or not. This is Wham, Last Christmas.
I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave And the video was so misleading because he was singing about a girl. But we knew. Oh, you didn't say anything, but we knew.
Oh, we knew.
We know what you're talking about. And finally, and we got a bunch of these, and we're going to do some more later. This song is a song that I came across about 10 years ago. And it exploded, and it's the last one on this bill. It exploded in my mind and has never left it. And right now it is a commercial as well as a song being played everywhere. It was sang by a little girl from Oklahoma. Her name was Gayla Peavy, and it's I Want a Hippopotamus.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. Don't want a dog.
Oh, God. That is fun and annoying. Luckily, it's only 2 minutes long. It's like a Ramones song. Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBenson. And that voice, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Text the show, 323-538-2423. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.